Mahomes has the time, delivers perfectly downfield. Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
This one, Adams, touchdown. This time going deep for Beckham Jr.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name's Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. And as always, joined by my co-host, Mr. Sean Siegel. Sean, we're well into the offseason now, a couple of weeks past the Super Bowl. We're starting to think off the NFL draft. There'll be lots of information coming out over the coming weeks and months with the prospects. And it's been fun starting to dive into them so far. But today on the show, we're going to look a little bit at best ball and the FFPC best ball command center up on the website and how to see some key advantages throughout that drafting experience. Best ball in full flow at the moment. A lot of edges to be able to be had at this early stage of draft season. And again, as I mentioned on previous shows, you know, we talk about best ball here, but a lot of the information we're going to discuss can be filtered back into redraft or dynasty in terms of the players we talk about and some of the crossover as well and the kind of strategies that we do entail. But it's going to be a fun show today, Sean.
It is. And we're going to talk, as you mentioned, about some best ball on Thursday. We'll talk some more dynasty, talking the dynasty rookie guide, but also some ways to beat your dynasty startup draft in the early on. When you have those pre-NFL draft startups, those are a lot of fun, especially when rookies are included. We'll tell you how to exploit those leagues. But yeah, today we're talking about FFPC best ball. And, you know, frequent listeners know that the FFPC is one of our sponsors. But one of the reasons why we have this partnership is we love playing these FFPC events. That includes the main event, obviously, that we talked about a lot last fall, but also these best ball leagues. I really enjoy playing best ball because you can play it during this time of the year that otherwise it's a little bit tricky to do drafts. Blair and I are doing, you know, 4, 5, 6 drafts right now. It's a lot of fun. You get to look at player and team construction on a variety of different teams from different draft slots, slightly different formats. We're mixing up classic and super flex types of leagues there. But one of the reasons that we like to do these leagues, in addition to it being fun, is that it is year-long practice for those big drafts in September, but also because we do have some edges for you that will allow you to win. And there's nothing more fun than having fun while you're making money. You can definitely do that with our tools. So we have the best ball workshop on the site. I go through how to approach every position in your best ball draft and how you want to construct your team. We also have the FFPC best ball command center column, which you just mentioned, and it's really cool what this tool allows us to do. Now, we're going to get into the tool, the huge values that it allowed Blair and me to get in the draft that we're doing. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about structural drafting and some of the things that we want to do with it. Now, with structural drafting, whether it's zero running back or it's single elite running back, or if it's something specific to the format, like, you know, where you need to take your quarterbacks, how many defenses you have to have, how many place kickers you have to have. Now, one of the things, and it's kind of interesting, I saw the FFPC tweet this out yesterday talking about how people complain about kickers all the time, and yet they're getting like a 73-27 split in terms of users deciding to play their best ball leagues that include kickers instead of don't include kickers. Now, you think, you know, why would that be? And Blair and I are playing leagues only with kickers. And why would we do that when we don't really like the kickers? But kickers and defenses give you another edge because about half of the drafters in your draft play them incorrectly, right? And so if you just play in a league with defenses and place kickers and do the things you need to do there, even if they're a little bit boring, then it jumps up your win rate, right? So when you have these little things that you can do to really separate yourself from half of the league, then you go ahead and do that. And then it can be a little bit fun too, doing a little bit of research on kickers, finding out, you know, what their contract status is and who's likely to actually be out there next year. When you're drafting early in 2021, you know, you want to be drafting kickers who really are locked into jobs. And one of these things that we do see in these drafts are people drafting kickers who probably will not be starters next year. So in addition to maybe taking the wrong number of kickers or taking them in the wrong spots, you know, we have kickers who are being drafted who won't start. So enough about kickers. No one cares about kickers. Let's get to this and talk about, you know, what we want to do here. And the question that people always ask me is, doesn't structural drafting limit you and make it so it's not as fun to kind of pick your guys? And I would say no. I mean, that's the exact opposite from what I really find. Structural drafting allows me to take, you know, whatever player picking prowess I have, you know, and we hope that based on the things that we have told you on the show, the fact that our techniques for picking players is evidence-based and just the track record that we've established now with you, that you think that we do have some player picking prowess, but regardless of that, whatever strength you have in that area, and you know, there are all kinds of studies out there telling us that people are overconfident, right? So even if we're average, we probably believe we're great. Well, if you're great at picking players, doing structural drafting with it just makes both of those things even better. And then when you add something like the FFPC Best Ball Command Center into the equation, you know, you really start to gap your league. So Colin, that's what we're talking about today. And I'm going to let you give a little bit of an intro here. Tell the audience some of the things that this tool does and why it's fun to have open as you're going through and you're making your best ball selections.
One of the like straight off the bat, I think for anybody, when you're on a pick, the decision is like, you know, let's say you're picking at the turn of either round, you're picking maybe at the 109, 110, and you're kind of making that decision. And obviously it affects it further down. I think the later you go, the more important it is to see those different percentages. But when you can say, you know, maybe we're going to leave this guy in at the end of the ninth round and try and pick him up on the way back at the start of the 10th round and vice versa, and see those kind of options of the percentage of that player will be available at the next pick or in two picks time, and give you kind of that option, whether it's maybe you have two tight ends you like at a certain spot versus one running back, or vice versa again. I think that's one of the best things that it does, is gives you like the list of the ADPs, and also the thing I really like is it gives you the positional ADP as well, but the percentage of seeing where the likelihood of you getting that next pick and getting the player you want, so you can make that decision to set your team up for success. I think it's just so easy to break down, so easy to see when it's in front of you. And if you're playing in a lot of these leagues, the other thing that is really cool is you can see your exposures on it as well. So if you have a player that you really like, that you're really stocking up and off all off season, maybe it's a good time to see that you're at 85% exposure. It might be time to taper off a little bit and look in some other position, so all your eggs aren't in the one basket. But so many different ways that you can look through this tool, and like the tools up on the website, just gives you such an edge to try and set up that set up your draft strategy. Because when you're on the clock as well, if you're in some of these drafts where clocks, particularly when we're getting close to the season, timings can be very, very quick, and you don't have that much time sometimes to make those decisions, and having a tool like this where it kind of really breaks it down in a simple screenshot for you, I think for anyone that's getting into best ball or anyone that's thinking about doing the process, I think it really can help you from that perspective. Overall, Sean, I think like looking at the piece in general when we dive into it and talking about the tool itself, but when we look at some of the things that you've put into this that I think are very valuable for the listeners, and I know they'll probably have heard you talk about it previously, but if they haven't, one of the things when you're co-managing a team with Sean or drafting with Sean that I find is so insightful is kind of reverse engineering that draft, or visualizing the possible options for picks at that particular spot to kind of, again, slow down the draft process for you. When it gets to that point, there's no panic. It's like, look, these are the guys that are going to be there, and then you can make that decision. And I think that fits in with what you were saying previously as well, Sean, just having, an understanding. You might be saying that, like, it's not as much fun, but it's more about, like you said, it's a lot more fun winning than it is getting to just randomly pick players without putting in the kind of research and the time in it. So that's one of the things that I always think is fascinating, is the reverse engineering process and knowing where those picks are going to be.
Yeah, and we have a full FFPC dashboard for best ball that you can also use to really plot your strategy from the back of the draft to the front as well. And you can see in these drafts the teams that haven't done that, because once they get into those last 10 rounds, they're chasing picks. The picks don't make sense. They realize, oh, if I had done it in a different order, I would have been able to accomplish the same thing and spent a lot less. And that's really what we're talking about today. The title of the article that this discussion is based on is how we managed to land 10 big values in the first 17 rounds of our FFPC best ball league using the command center. And it really is kind of crazy what you can accomplish if you're going through and you're grabbing some of these values. So you pull up the tool, it lets you visualize the picks that are going in the range that you're at. It shows you the values that are currently on the board and the range that those picks are going in, and gives you a nice visualization of that, which I think really helps. Then it does the things that Colin was talking about, and it really is so cool to be able to see the odds that the guy you're considering is going to make it to your next pick and then to two picks. It really helps you make some of those tight decisions. And one of the things that we found is that when you rely on that, every once in a while you do miss, because if there's a, you know, a 36% chance for someone and a 17% chance for somebody else, you know, you take the guy who you have less chance of coming back to, and then you are occasionally disappointed if you were also hoping for that other player. But it allows you to start getting big values as you go through the draft. A couple of other little things that it does on the side: it gives you your roster, it gives you the full draft grid of that graph of that draft. It gives you news, so you don't have to worry about that some big player move has happened while you're picking and you just missed it. So those are all things that we like, that make things a little bit easier and gives you that flexibility. But then it's cool to see what happens in a real draft. So we're going to kind of go through this and see what picks we had and how those values came into play.
Hey, RotoViz Radio listener, this is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast, and I've got a special deal for you today. Go to rotoviz.com, click the subscribe button, put the 12-month subscription in your cart, and use promo code RVRadio21. That's RVRadio21, and you're going to save 10%. Taking advantage of this deal, getting your hands on what's included in the package, is the best way to enhance your performance this year. So go to rotoviz.com and subscribe now.
Now, in this particular example, we had the number 4 pick. We went with Saquon Barkley. That's about the range that he's in. In the second round, we were able to get Stephon Diggs. Now, Diggs is about a half round value from that point. So, you know, did we need the command center to get that value on Diggs in the second round? No, probably not. And that's fairly straightforward. We come back through, we get Antonio Gibson. And then in the fourth round, Mark Andrews is a half round value for us. Again, did we need that to make that pick? Probably not. But it's nice to get those two values early and to see what then happens later. Fifth round, T. Higgins. Sixth round, Noah Fant. Both of those guys going about at ADP. And one of the things that is kind of nice about this, and that we can see from the roster construction explorer about this particular league, is that zero running back actually works better than people realize, but it also works well to be balanced, especially if you have those tight ends. So through six rounds, two running backs, two wide receivers, and then Andrews and Fant, which that really sets us up with the two tight ends to have a ton of flexibility later on. So, Colin, let's now jump into rounds 7 through 11. How did the values play out here?
Just in terms, Sean, you mentioned you got the two tight ends. You started to really load up on quarterback after that point. So through 7 through 9, three quarterback picks in a row, Justin Herbert, Tom Brady, and Matt Ryan. Herbert being the one there that, in terms of his usual ADPs, going off the board just about almost around a half of a difference. You got him at the 704, normally going at the 601. We've talked in the past about getting those high upside quarterbacks, and whether it's in any format at the moment, particularly you know, heading into this season. So getting Herbert at that spot is a very strong pick. Tom Brady was the next quarterback, and then Matt Ryan. And I find it interesting that, like, you know, you'll start to see you kind of lap the board almost at that point, getting those three in quick succession, you know, making people then maybe panic a little bit and start to jump aboard the quarterback train to try and fit them in. And people then, as you kind of look at and alluded to, people maybe missing out on their strategy and starting to push for players that are maybe a little bit of a reach at their position. So it was interesting though, Sean, to see you jump in at those three guys. I know getting that value on Matt Ryan as well, kind of half around there for him. But what was your thoughts jumping in with the three quarterbacks and the three consecutive picks there?
So one of the things that we can see when we pull up either the Roster Construction Explorer or the Best Ball Win Rate Explorer, which gives it to us from a kind of different angle, it shows us sort of the ranges that these picks are giving excess win rate, looking at it as a draft board as opposed to what the RCE does. So that's a cool way to look at it. We know that the QB window is round 7 through approximately 11 in this particular format. Now, we want to get at least two of our quarterbacks in that range, if not all three. Ideally, if you don't feel like you're overpaying, you'd get three of them. You don't want to force yourself into a situation where you're just taking the third guy to take him if it's somebody who you think is essentially equivalent to a player who will go multiple rounds later. You can wait on that third guy. But someone like Matt Ryan, you know, we don't hesitate to take him there, especially when we know that he's a half round value, and especially when we know some of the guys who are coming up. So because of the players who are falling and because we can see the likelihood that they will last to us, we can be patient at some of these other positions. And then what happens is that in round 10, we take Jarvis Landry. In round 11, we take Brandon Cooks. The cool thing about this is we get to our four receivers in these first 11 rounds, which we know that we want to do, even in the FFPC that is much more running back heavy than some other formats. The wide receivers are still very important as we try and make sure that we're winning the race to fill the flex, having a dominant flex position, but we also want value, right? And so when we look at these guys here, they're both lasting well below where they normally are taken. And even then, we have this secondary upside of knowing, okay, both of these guys are drafted well below where they finished last year. And beyond even last year, we have a very strong track record for them. So in terms of, again, trying to take every edge that we have, we want to look at some other research that we have. So we talked a little bit before about Blair's newest article where he's talking about, are your best ball teams too young? And finding that these veterans, especially at the wide receiver position, have better win rates than some of the younger players. Now, this is especially true once we get outside the top 100. Right. So Landry, Cooks, they're in that range where we're starting to flip from the young upside types of players actually paying off quite well with win rate in the time period where we want to be a little bit more conservative because some of these older guys are going to give us great value. So again, we're trying to stack as many small edges as we can to create this powerhouse team when we're done. So the 7 through 11 range went very, very well, Colm. Take us through 12 through 17 and give us a little bit of insight into some of the guys that we took here. And perhaps if there are any players that, even though we got a good value on them, that you might be skeptical of, maybe you think that their value or their ADP is going to collapse as we go forward. And that even though we appeared to get a value, in the end, it may not be that.
I don't think looking at the, just for the listeners, I'll go through the guys first just by name, but it was Chuba Hubbard, Rashad Penny, Christian Kirk, Justin Tucker, Rondale Moore, and then Sterling Shepard rounding out all the way up to the 17th round. And I don't think there's any of those guys that I think will collapse in value. The one that could potentially have a big change in value, you know, would be Rashad Penny if the Seahawks went with a running back in the draft. And with all things considered, you know, they do need offensive linemen, but you know, they love to try and establish the run. So we'll see what happens there. But in terms of overall, you know, you mentioned as well about the kickers and trying to get the advantage over the field. I don't think there's any kicker that's really, you know, possibly Harrison Butker, who's going to be in there with Justin Tucker, but I think just based on consistency over his career, I think Tucker should have been the kicker number one going off the board here, and he was the second kicker off the board in this draft and almost a round after Buckner went. So I think there's a great value there for him. Just in terms of how it shows up in the tool, it's a mild value, same for Rondale Moore. But I think in terms of getting him at that spot, it gives a lot of flexibility then with where you're going with the kicker position and how much you're diving into it. So it also a bit like where you went with the third quarterback, it started a run as well at the kicker position. Shortly after that, there was an additional 5 kickers going before the end of that round, and then the round after, another 5 kickers going off the board. So pushing some of those other values down to you. And I think that's what happened with Rondale Moore falling down there. But I think, you know, two players that I've consistently thought were undervalued, almost since they came into the league until now, and that's Christian Kirk and Sterling Shepherd. I think both of those proven to be big values based on their draft positions where they went off the board. So, you know, in terms of ADP at the current time, Sterling Shepherd is almost going three rounds higher than you took him here. Normally going in the 14.04 range, and in this draft, Sean, you're getting them three rounds later, 17.04. So big value there. And I think they're players who could easily slip through the cracks in terms of people forgetting about them. Kirk has had his big games and has had his splash games, but he's also had those very quiet games and maybe over the seasons where people have maybe actually inserted him into the lineups and were kind of relying on him. Maybe there are some of the games that they've let owners down. And so I think both of those guys could potentially be really, really good core pieces this offseason. Like when you're getting into the rounds 14 and getting Kirk and into round 17 and getting Shepherd. Now, that I don't think that'll be possible in every draft, but I think you're starting to really give yourself some upside. You mentioned getting those wide receivers in the first 11 rounds, but when you're having somebody like Kirk then as a supplementary piece to that is just major upside.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear that, because those were some picks that I think were a little bit trickier to make. Maybe they don't have the pizzazz of some other picks. So one of the things you can do to balance out taking too many swing for the fences picks and yet having some excitement in your roster is to wait, right? And try and make sure you get good values. Hubbard is a back I think we could see absolutely explode after the draft. Now, I'm probably wrong about this, right? But Hubbard is someone with world-class speed who in 2019 was fantastic, right? So you have to have an idea or a specific thesis for why he can suddenly no longer play or suddenly isn't the same guy to not like him well above where he's being taken. I mean, he's one of these guys from this class that isn't super strong at the running back position who could still end up being a star. And one of the things that we also expect from rookies in this area is that they're going to rise a little bit post-draft. We'll talk about that a little bit more on Thursday in terms of how it affects your early dynasty drafts. But he's someone who could rise. Penny, it's interesting to see. You know, the Seahawks now, all the reports are that they're not going to re-sign Chris Carson. I think that Penny is just a crazy value at this level if that happens. Now, it doesn't mean that he's going to be the starter. They're talking about Mike Davis. They could obviously make a draft pick, which, you know, after their draft picks have not really worked out that well at the position, they might be very much in better shape if they took the advice from Russell Wilson and made sure their quarterback was happy instead of continuing to focus on this running back position. But Penny here, again, an upside kind of play. So when we're looking at taking even running backs, and most of these guys go around ADP, we're looking at players we think could really rise in terms of their value later on. So that even these picks might be a value. And then we allow the draft to keep coming to us. So Kirk, a guy who falls, maybe his ADP continues to drop a little bit. Maybe the Cardinals draft someone or add someone, you know, Larry Fitzgerald likely retiring, and then there's a spot for him. He could emerge. I mean, they play different roles, so there's a spot for him anyway. And that's the reason why he's fallen, is that he really did underperform this year. Maybe we're still 1 year away, right? Sterling Shepard, last year, a great win rate at a higher ADP and despite missing a handful of games. So now, does that mean that he's going to be a great value in 2021? Definitely not. But there are a lot of signals pointing in that direction. And unless they add a big time playmaker that really shifts around everything that they're doing in terms of that passing game, which is always possible, he's a crazy value. But even if the worst happens, and this is one of the things that you're looking for, again, is you want to understand the different scenarios and what would happen. Even if the worst happens and they do add a target hog, Shepard is still valued in such a way and still has a role within the team to where he could really return value specifically at this price. And that's the key here in terms of, we want to be aware of price when we're making all of these different picks. And then again, you mentioned the kicker. That again, part of our RCE strategy, the tactics within the draft here, knowing where the place kicker window is, not getting boxed out of that. If you get on the front edge of it, because there's not a better value somewhere else, and we took Tucker because of the slight value, but then that also frees you up to where you don't have to chase later on. You don't have to make a place kicker pick for someone you're not sure is even going to be a starter next year in a spot where you had a different guy that you liked. And so then you've hurt yourself twice. You've lost a pick that you really wanted, And now you have a kicker who may not be a starter. So we want to be making sure we're balancing all of those objectives as we go through. And the command center makes it so much easier to do that. Again, can you go through these types of calculations on your own? You can, but the tool makes it easier, it makes it more fun, and it really sort of reinforces good decision-making, which I think can be hard. Because even if you played fantasy football for 15 years, done, you know, literally thousands of drafts, you still want to make the fun pick. And so to have something that's allowing you to make fun picks, but also helping you stay disciplined, that's a tool that helps me. And so I think it's a fun tool to play with, and hopefully it will help some of our listeners as well.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned there, like, staying disciplined. I think it keeps you honest. You know, it helps you not get caught up maybe in your own think and just going with your own decisions on each occasion. It helps you make a more educated decision. And also, as we mentioned about the exposures and the kind of odds that player will be there the next pick, it helps you make those smarter picks, as you mentioned. So I definitely recommend the listeners check that out over on the site. Finishing up, Sean, with a question we got in related to best balls, and it's from PM Farley. He did say he's seeing more teams utilize Rotovision theory. I'm just going to ask you first, Sean, is that a trademarked term, Rotovision?
Oh, well, yeah, sure. I think that I'd love to hear that. We definitely have some Rotovision theory.
He says that people are using Rotovision theory in his early best ball 10s with heavy wide receiver starts. He said, is there a counter move to this, or just dig in and stay the course? So I'll let you go first, Sean, if what your thoughts are on it.
Yeah, I think that you want to stay the course, because one of the things that happens when drafters are taking a more optimal approach, you don't want to pivot to one that is worse, right? You need to stick with the best practice here to make sure you're not losing a value to some of these other drafters. One of the things that I would say is that in these early rounds, if you have one running back that you really want, you know, make sure you get some exposure to that guy. Make sure that if, you know, you have someone in the first round, you have someone in the second round, you have someone in the third round, you have someone in the fourth round, you know, but you don't want to stack all those guys together, right? We pull up the Roster Construction Explorer, you look at the results from that, and they're absolutely terrible. So we know that we want to get exposure to running backs across leagues, not within a league. And I think that's the real key, is that if wide receivers are going earlier and pushing some of the guys you like down, don't completely avoid them, but make sure that you're still maintaining this wide receiver heavy overall start. And so, you know, I want to take advantage anytime things change slightly. One of the things that we've seen is that in the past several years, with drafts getting so running back heavy, that it took something that was already very successful in terms of, you know, single elite running back or zero running back, and it made it just overwhelmingly successful. Well, I mean, ADPs are probably going to repair themselves a little bit, especially after a season like we just had that really reinforces some of these things we've been talking about all along. But we don't want to pivot to the point where we're giving away a ton of value. We just want to make sure that if there are some running back targets that we really like, that we do get some exposure to some of them.
Yeah, that's a super answer. I think, again, referencing back to the command center, you know, it can give you some of the insights as to where, and this mightn't work as much in those opening rounds because there won't be as much of a variance sometimes in ADP, but you might see some of those running backs, as you mentioned, get pushed down into that second round, for example, that should be first round picks, and, you know, maybe a player there that you want to go, maybe your plan is kind of zero RB, and then, you know, it changes it into a more modified approach. I think it's like, you know, try and just stay true to gaining those values and to your lineups. And like every year, there's going to be wide receivers going in those spots as well that, you know, maybe they aren't your wide receiver targets. So it can still work to your advantage if those players that you wouldn't be targeting are potentially drafted earlier than you would be taking them. So it can work out in both ways, but a very, very good question. Sean, the last thing I want to mention before we finish up is we have been talking over the last couple of weeks on your 2021 Superflex Dynasty mock that you and Sam Wallace have been doing. We covered the first three parts on the show over the last couple of weeks. Part four is up on the website for anyone looking to see how that fourth round went. And it's quite interesting because that's where the talk of kind of trading back in those dynasty startups, finding that sweet spot for maybe gaining some extra picks for that year or future years starts to come into play. So I would recommend that for anyone, particularly if you're in any startups this offseason. A great series so far. Do check that one out. And last but not least, you'll be able to know, as always, as a loyal podcast listener, you can gain access to the stuff we talked about today on the show and all those tools and all the great content up on the site. Save yourself a 10% discount off a one-year RotoViz subscription by using the code RVRadio2021 at checkout or by going to rotoviz.com/podcast for further information. Perfect time to get involved. So much content up on the site for your reading pleasure this off-season. So the very last thing before I forget, we had mentioned about giving away one off the Dynasty Command Center rookie guides to a listener. That has slipped my attention this week, and we are currently recording, so there's no time to check up who is the winner. So I'm going to open it up for a further week to our listeners. Leave a written and review as to how you won your league in 2020. Thanks to listening to RotoViz Radio, or particularly the RotoViz Overtime podcast. Drop us a five-star review. I have had a lot of people reach out over the last week, and I'll just leave it open for one more week, your chance to win.
Since we're extending it another week, why don't we also give out a second rookie draft guide? So we'll give out two guides, and again, five-star reviews that explain how the podcast helped you win your draft last year, win your league, or if you're in a dynasty league, how it allowed you to really jump that rebuild forward a full year, something to that effect. We want to hear how the podcast has really helped you in your league. So we'll do a second guide. We'll have another week for the contest, and we're looking forward to giving these out. People have been very excited when they open them up.
Yeah, and I guess that was my plan all along, Sean, was to get a second guide for the listeners. I think the listeners will appreciate me doing that and not announcing the winner this week. We'll pretend that is the real reason that we didn't announce the winner today. But two guides now up for grabs, and that, I promise you, will be announced on next week's shows. As always, thank you for tuning in. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My co-host is Sean Siegel. Find pieces like we talked about today on the show and his other great work up on rotoviz.com. And until we're back on Thursday, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.